to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Peter. We'll be mentioning that those verses in Romans that we read a little bit earlier, but we're doing a series in 2 Peter. The title of the series is Overcoming Error, and the title of this morning's message is The Way of Fruitfulness. We're continuing in that mini-series. Let's ask God's help, brothers and sisters. Dear Heavenly Father, we want those ancient words to impart change to our hearts. We want the right kind of change. Oh Lord, may it be that no one is hardened to the word of God today because they resist it. May each of us, may I, Lord, be soft and tender to the word, ready to hear what you have to say. Oh Lord, thank you for the words of life. We drink it in. It quenches our thirst. You quench our thirst. You are everything to us. Bless us in this hour, we pray. Amen. In early 1996, a bloke by the name of Lou Kosciuszko joined a renowned Mount Everest expedition. When he said goodbye to his wife Sandy, he knew that he would be facing major physical and mental hardships. The ice, the snow, the rocks, avalanches, and the high altitude. What Lou didn't know that he was 6 weeks away from disaster. Terrible disaster. There were no second chances. Decisions were made. Some lived, some died. It was the worst tragedy in Everest history to that point. In his book about that expedition, he tells two stories. One story is of the facts and his analysis of how and why things went wrong. Lou also tells a very personal story how he came back home. A story about where to go for inner strength when you're facing great challenges, tough decisions. A story about his wife Sandy's part in his survival. On Everest, when it's getting dark and the storms are coming, what is the right choice? The choice to go on or the choice to turn back? Perseverance is about making the right choice and continuing to make the right choices when the pressure, all pressure is on you to make the wrong choice. Sometimes the right choice on Everest is to turn back because to go on is moving outside the grace of God. To go ahead is about selfishness and pride and perhaps making a name for yourself. As we saw last time, self-control is about godly choices. And perseverance absolutely needs the empowering of the Spirit of God also. So perseverance is about continuing to make godly choices even when life pressures are great. Or another way to look at the difference between self-control and perseverance is self-control is about having victory over sin. Perseverance is about having victory through the difficult circumstances of life. Both self-control and perseverance come together for the toughest part of the climb, the toughest part of the Christian walk. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. When you come to godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, you are at the summit. The worst part of the climb is over. You have exercised to get there, self-control and perseverance. Today, it would be helpful to answer three questions about perseverance. The first question to briefly answer is, what is perseverance? What is perseverance? Where to add to self-control, perseverance. The Greek word is hupomone, made up of two smaller Greek words meaning to abide under, to stay under. Perseverance is abiding under, temptation, abiding under trials, continuing despite the temptation or the control, continuing to live the Christian life under pressure. You remain under the trial, you remain under the temptation to sin without wavering and with self-control. The word for self-control is only found 7 times in our Bibles, but this word hupomone is found 50 times, more around 50 times in our Bibles. And sometimes it's translated endurance or patience, but we'll be translating it with the word perseverance each time we come to it, just to be consistent through the Scriptures. We certainly won't have time to consider all those verses today, but let me say perseverance is a quality that is found in true Christians. 7 times the New Testament says the Christian is the one who perseveres. Some examples, Matthew 10 and verse 22. He who perseveres to the end will be saved. And 2 Timothy 2:12. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. The idea is if you persevere, you are the one who is saved. He who perseveres to the end will be saved. A Christian ought to have, therefore, perseverance. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12 explains a little bit more about perseverance. It says, here is the perseverance of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Christ. So who are those who persevere? Those who continue to keep the commandments, those who continue to obey, and those who continue to trust God. And they do this through the worst trials of life. The Church of Ephesus is an example of a church that persevered. They persevered in 2 areas. They persevered in their service to the Lord. Their service may have been against persecution, whatever, but they kept persevering. And secondly, they persevered when there was doctrinal error. They persevered in the truth, to maintain the truth and to hang on to the truth. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. I know your works, your labor, your perseverance, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, they're false teachers, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, labored in service, and have not become weary. Also, the church at Philadelphia is commended because they obeyed the command to persevere, for there is a command given to Christians to persevere. Revelation 3 and verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. Another climber who was on the mountain that same day, May 10, 1996, was Lene Gammelgaard. She also made it back home from Everest on that disastrous climb when 8 died. She said later, survival in the mountains is to keep going. You just don't stop. Of course, to keep going in the wrong direction is foolishness. To keep going in the wrong direction is stubbornness. But to keep going in the right direction against pressure is what the Bible means by perseverance. It's a helpful picture for us. You keep going. You just don't stop. One author says, persevering means keeping up self-control for the long haul, even for the extreme pressures, when friends, illness, reversal tempt you to give in. Perseverance is doing right no matter what. It means doing right even if you have lost your family. Maybe you're a new believer in Christ and they've turned against you. Even though you've lost your friends, your job or your health, maybe you're in a Job-like situation where your health is right on the brink. It means doing the right thing even if you're down to your last cent, even when the dealer is pushing you to buy the drugs again. Perseverance means reading your Bible every day. Perseverance means saying yes to the Spirit and no to whatever habits are holding us back. Not just for an hour, but for the whole day. Not just for a day, but for the whole week. Not just for a week, but for a whole month. And indeed, the rest of our lives. Perseverance means responding well, even to critical family. Not just when you're physically rested, but also when you're strung out. Perseverance is faithfulness to right, even under pressure. Joseph was a young man who lived for God. Even when he was sold as a slave, he continued to live for God. Even when he was falsely accused of immorality and thrown into prison, he continued to live for God. Even when he was forgotten in prison for years, he continued to live for God. That's perseverance. If you're going in the right direction and keep going, you just don't stop in temptation or trial. To keep going in the wrong direction is pride and stubbornness. Do not keep going in the wrong direction. The second question to be answered about perseverance is, how do I get it? Where does perseverance come from? Where do I get it? Where does it come from? Well, there are plenty of helps to be able to live the Christian life in all perseverance. Let's just name some of them. Number one, perseverance comes from the Scripture. When we're Scripture saturated, we'll be able to persevere. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the perseverance and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Same word in Greek. Through the perseverance and comfort of the Scriptures. Three blessings are listed there for being a Scripture-saturated Christian. First of all, perseverance. Secondly, encouragement. And thirdly, hope. The Scriptures tell us how to persevere. And the Scriptures tell us to persevere. And one of the things that the Scriptures give us that enable us to persevere are the promises of God. The promises of God need to be highlighted. And we did that a few messages back when we looked at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. "By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." The promises give hope. And with that hope, we're able to persevere. Can you see that when we have hope, it's easier to keep going? Romans 8 and verse 25. "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Talking of Abraham, Romans chapter 4 and verse 20 says, "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform." When you are convinced of God's promises, it's easier to persevere. The future is as bright, brothers and sisters, as the promises of God. One promise that you can hang on to is Philippians 4:13, which says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Praise God for that verse. We can, in His strength, keep going. Number two, perseverance comes from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Romans 15 and verse 5. "Now may the God of perseverance and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus." Our God is called the God of perseverance. Perseverance is one thing that flows from His throne, as the song says, unto His own. The saint dependent on God is going to be granted perseverance. God wants us to have His perseverance through His Spirit. Therefore, Paul prays for the Colossian church that they would have perseverance. Colossians 1 and verse 9. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all perseverance and long-suffering with joy." It's a good thing to pray for each other, that we might have perseverance. Our Lord, the Father, and both the Son are the sources of perseverance. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. "Now, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the perseverance of Christ." May our hearts be directed to Him. May we depend on Him. May we abide in Him. May we draw close to Him, that we have the flow of His perseverance into our lives. Number three, perseverance comes from the example of Christ and other Christians. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. "Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," all the heroes of faith of chapter 11, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him persevered through the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who persevered through such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We look unto Jesus who persevered through the cross. We look at the fact that Jesus also persevered such hostility of sinners against him. Though everyone left him and abandoned him, was against him at that time, he persevered. He is our example. He is the source of our perseverance and is the example of how we are to persevere. But other believers like Paul are also our example. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 6. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation, Paul says, and that encouragement is effective for persevering in the same sufferings. When Paul is afflicted and he is able to minister to the Corinthians, they are encouraged. That encouragement enables to go through the same kind of persecutions that Paul did. He was their example. Jesus was their example. Number four, perseverance comes from training. Training. It works like this. We persevere through a small trial, and our perseverance muscles, as it were, are strengthened to go through more difficult trials. The perseverance muscle has been exercised. It is now stronger for greater trials. Romans 5 and verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation, these trials, these heartaches of life, produces perseverance. Trials exercise us to yet even more. And we read in James 1 and verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It's these tests and trials that enable us to be stronger. Number five, perseverance comes when we minimize the hindrances to perseverance. Some things hold us back from persevering. If we can remove those, then surely we'll be able to persevere. Look up your sheet again, back to Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is before us. We've already seen that we're to look to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, but this verse tells us that there are some things, if we're going to run a marathon, that we need to lay aside. We don't wear a backpack running a marathon. You don't take equipment that you don't need if you're climbing Everest. Therefore, let us lay aside every weight. Now, these weights may refer to activities which may not be sinful in themselves, but are not really useful for the Christian life. They are unnecessary for Christian growth. Some examples of this might be spending time on the phone or spending time in front of a screen. There may be nothing wrong with the conversation. There may be nothing wrong with what we're watching. But if those activities prevent us reading our Bibles, if those activities prevent us from serving God, then those activities become sin for us. They're not helpful because it causes you to neglect the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It has become sin to us. And of course, there is sin, as well as those weights. There is sin, and we seek to deal with that so that we're not carrying a backpack of guilt as we seek to walk and to run the Christian life. Verse 1 says again, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Now, so I've given you five motivations there, five ways in which we can persevere: the scriptures, staying close to Christ, being trained by the perseverance. Five ways or reasons to persevere. Sadly, the man without Christ has to have other motivations for perseverance. A large part of that is pride. They do not want to be quitters. They do not want to be known as quitters. They want to be known as achievers, accomplishing things. Pride should not motivate the Christian. We need to be careful. We might be doing the right thing for the wrong reason. I've told you about Lou Kosciuszko. I told you on top of Everest, decisions were made. Some of those decisions were good and some of those were bad. Lou admits that the desire to climb Everest is a selfish quest for achievement and fame. When it's time to turn back, maybe it's just to prove yourself. But when it's time to turn back, he says, there are a myriad of pressures. That's a quote. A myriad of pressures, peer pressure, your own ego, pride, that pushes you on. A myriad of pressures to keep going. Lou's guide, a famous guide, a better climber than Lou, pushed on that day. But he also died. It was pride and it was competition. There was another team of climbers that were climbing from the other side of Everest, and they were going on despite it being time to turn back. And he pushed on too. To push to the top out of pride is not what biblical perseverance is. You see, perseverance is what leads to godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And therefore, the pathway is through godliness. There must be godly motivations. We cannot use the world's motivations to get there. Last time we saw self-control as a choice that comes from the Holy Spirit. Perseverance is also of God. I also mentioned that Joseph as a young man was a man that kept going in life, kept persevering despite the setbacks. He was able to do that because of the promises of God. Remember the promise that God gave him? He had those dreams and he knew that one day others would bow down to him. As he went through trial after trial, he could not understand how God was going to do that. But he trusted God's promise and that enabled him to persevere through the trials that God allowed his way. God would be faithful to his promises. So the applications to these ought to be obvious to us. Number one, if perseverance comes from the scriptures, then surely I need to hunger and to thirst for the scriptures. I want to spend time in the scriptures. I want to be immersed. I want those scriptures to become part of me. And I need to believe those scriptures like Joseph did. I need to be faithful in my quiet time. And I need to be faithful to sit under the Word of God. Number two, if perseverance comes from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then I need to abide in Him. I need to depend on Him. So we're in constant prayer to Him. Lord, I feel like giving up right now. These circumstances seem hard to me, but I know that your word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I turn to you for help. Oh Lord, give me the will and the ability to keep doing what is right, even though I feel like giving up. Keep making the right choices. Number three, if perseverance comes from the example of Christ, surely then I want to keep looking to Him and following hard in His footsteps, footstep after footstep following Him. If perseverance comes from the example of other Christians, I want to say, Lord, help me to be like that. I see he is a godly man. I see she is a godly woman. Help me to have that consistent discipline in my life too, Lord. Number four, if perseverance comes from the training of lesser trials, then I can welcome the trials. I can see what God is doing in my life. I can see Him changing me. I can see Him strengthening me and helping me to be better. I can see what God is doing, and therefore I see those trials as stepping stones to godliness. Number five, if perseverance can be hindered, I want a heavenly focus. I want to jettison anything that would make me sink. My eyes are set on things above, not on the things of the earth. I get rid of those earthly things. I certainly don't want to be carrying a backpack of sin up Everest. Therefore, I grasp as a lifeline 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can you see that that's a wonderful lifeline to lighten the load? No Christian should be ever carrying sin. Would we take a few moments today to lighten our loads and confess any sin, any hindrance, any weight that we're carrying that would prevent us running the race with perseverance? Would you make your commitment to the Word today
to be in the Word, to be changed by the Word, to be abiding in Christ, to be following the example of others and accepting trials as friends. Would you make that your commitment?
A third question to be answered about perseverance is, how does it help? How does it help? Number one, when I persevere, it assures me of my salvation. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. For you have need of perseverance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And the promise in that context is the promise of salvation. You have need of perseverance, so that you, after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. When I persevere in the will of God, it is promised that I am a saved person. So continuing in the Christian life is an assurance that really I am saved. What a blessing. Number two, when I persevere, it enables me to be a fruitful, mature Christian. And that's really exactly Peter's point here in these verses. Let me just read through a few verses, starting at verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. So if you have these spiritual qualities, you will be fruitful. You will have a fruitful Christian life, Peter is saying. Perseverance guarantees fruitfulness. When we reach the pinnacle of love, we will find that perseverance has become part of our character. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and verse 7 says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, perseveres through all things. Love does. That's what love is. Jesus mentions fruitfulness in association with the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils. He says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it. They keep the word, so they're persevering and bear fruit with perseverance. They're fruitful with perseverance. They just keep bearing fruit. They keep at the word. And Paul agrees, saying in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, this was the passage that was read today, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, in trouble. Do we want trouble? Not for trouble's sake, surely not. No, but knowing that trouble, tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. That's exactly what Peter is saying too. There is a maturity. There is a fruitfulness. There is a character to the person who has persevered through trials. They're all similar descriptions of the Christian who has persevered. Titus 2 and verse 2, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. It's part of maturity. No one will ever be mature, fruitful, or of godly character without perseverance. Number three, when I persevere, it ensures victory over trials. So perseverance assures my salvation. It assures that I'll be a fruitful, mature Christian. And number three, when I persevere, it ensures victory over trials and persecutions. Listen to Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers or servants of God in much perseverance. So Paul says, in all situations we've been persevering. And then he gives examples of the situations in which perseverance mattered. He says, in tribulations, or when he's crushed, in needs, that's when he's needing help, in distresses, between a rock and a hard place, in stripes and imprisonments, they're different forms of persecution, in tumults, that's riots, in labors, so he's just worn out, in sleeplessness, in fastings, because prayer is so needed because of the situation. Paul says, in all these situations, I need perseverance, and it was perseverance that enabled me to come through and have the victory
in all those situations. Paul commends the Thessalonian Christians for their perseverance through trials and persecutions. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, so that we ourselves boast for you for your perseverance and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. And the author to Hebrews, talking about discipline, says that they need to persevere. If you persevere through chastening, God deals with you as with sons. Finally, James reminds us, reminds his readers of the blessings ahead if we will but persevere. James 5 and verse 11. Indeed, we count them blessed who persevere. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. God doesn't bring those trials out of anger or hate. He is compassionate and merciful. And he's working a better end for us. The end for Job was better than at the first. And he has a better end in store for us. Perseverance means victory in trials and persecutions and in discipline. Number four, when I persevere, it enables me to serve consistently. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I persevere through all things for the sake of the elect. Okay, so therefore in summary, perseverance produces a godly fruit in my life. It produces victories over trials and sin, leading to a maturity that serves God faithfully. Can you see the beauty of perseverance? By adding perseverance to self-control, I'm continuing to obey God's word no matter what. When Lou Kosciuszko got to within 100 meters, just 100 meters short of the summit of Everest, he stopped and he fell to his knees and he prayed. It was past time to go back. You see, they plan all their climbing. They had set a time when they reached. It was time to go back, otherwise they wouldn't make it back to Camp 4 before nightfall. But they had pushed on past this time already. He was within 100 meters of the summit. He fell down on his knees. The expedition leader, though a better climber, went on. As Lou prayed, he remembered the promise he made to his wife Sandy. I will come back. Lou says, they say the most two important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you understand why you were born. Lou continues, I can say on May 10, 1996, I understood why I was born. I understood my purpose. There was a purpose for me to still live, to fulfill God's will. Where do you go for inner strength? Lou went to God when it really mattered. And he made the right choice. His team leader did not stop and pray. He went on. And he died on Everest. The one pushed on in foolishness and stubbornness. We can understand how easily that happens. The other persevered in good choices. It's only perseverance if you keep going the right way. Don't you want the blessings that perseverance brings? For the end of Job was better than at the beginning. If you're wavering or about to turn back, are you really a Christian? For the promise is that he who perseveres to the end will be saved. Christians persevere to the end. Full stop. It's a wonderful assurance to me that I'm the Lord's. I haven't turned back on him in these 40 years. And if you are persevering, brothers and sisters, it's an assurance to you too. I can see how God has used perseverance to change my life. I'm a different person. I still have areas in my life where I need to exercise self-control and perseverance, but I am a different person to what I once was. There is so much joy and praise and contentment in that. It's a good place to be. Don't you want to be there too? Nolan and I have come through some pretty hard stuff together.
And though there have been times of wavering, yet we have persevered in the end. We are so glad we can look back and know the Lord helped us and that we did not give up or we did not turn aside. And though people have hurt us multiplied times in ministry, we've been able to take those hurts to the Lord and to keep going, to seek loving all those who come under our care that we might lose none. Many who have similar testimonies, you can say, well, I'm here today because I've persevered through some hard stuff. But if you have, if that is not your testimony, you do have need of perseverance so that you can live an overcomer's life and the joy and the contentment that comes from living an overcomer's life. Yes, it's a hard climb, but perseverance is worth it in the end. Verse 5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are blessed by the example of other men and women. We're blessed by the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who persevered through the cross and persevered despite the attitudes of sinners against him. And we follow his example all the way to the top. Father, thank you for your word. It's a life-changing word. And we want to come today and say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you deep, hard on your tracks. I don't want to lose sight of you. I want to be with you. I want to draw the strength of life from you. Lord, I want to confess my sin, that I'm not carrying a backpack of guilt along in life. Would you take time where you sit right now to confess any sin that's between you and Christ? Lord, I also confess that I have weights, things that I just do too much and it prevents me getting to the Word of God and to service. I confess these to you now too. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to commit myself to be a Word-saturated Christian filled with the hope of the promises of God. I want to abide in Christ, that I might bear his fruit in my life. I want to follow him. And I want to accept the trials you bring my way, for you make no mistakes. Give me that perseverance that comes from your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.